Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51 and verses 1 through 19. If you can, please stand in honor of God's Word. If you can't, please don't feel bad. Psalms chapter 51, we're going to read verses 1 through 19. The Bible says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be judged or justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was sharpened in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. And the sacrifice of God, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the wall of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Let's pray. Dearly Father, I pray that you bless your word. And dearly Father, I pray that you meet every need here like only you can meet. And dearly Father, we desperately need to hear from you. Dearly Father, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, dearly Father, I want to be used by you. I pray that you guide my thoughts and my words. And I pray that your will be done this morning. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Many of us know the story about David and Bathsheba. And the psalm here is a result of David's sin. And I believe that it holds a lot of truths that we can learn from. And basically, we know the story about David and how the Bible says as a time when kings go forth to battle, and he wasn't where he was supposed to be, and he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And basically we see that he had looked upon Bathsheba and desired her and basically took her and basically committed adultery. And then Bathsheba was pregnant, and then David, trying to cover up his sin, tried to have his Bathsheba's husband killed. And here's the thing is that after a while, David was confronted by Nathan the prophet. And Nathan told a story that angered David, and he said, "Thou art the man." And anyways, David, I'm sure, was blown back and realized and was overcome with guilt in the fact that he realized that basically this wicked and evil individual in the story was him. And, you know, we see that it was only after his sin had been made public that David chose to repent. But the noble thing was the fact that at this time, David took and he sought repentance. And he was doing some soul searching. And it was during this time that David had penned this psalm. And basically, we see here that David had wrote a very heartfelt desire to be right with God. You know, many people, it seems like we fall into sin from time to time. We try not to. And many of us, it seems like all across America, Christians, we We seem to fail at walking with God. I'll be honest with you, you read a lot of the stories about the Christians of yesteryear, and it just seems like even the best of us compared to some of the Christians from yesteryear just don't really line up. And the thing about it is that I remember, one thing that struck me was recently the news. There was something on the news about it was in a foreign country about how this particular church on Christmas Eve had held Mass for many, many years. Now, I don't believe in Mass, and I don't believe that the Catholic Church has the truth, and I'm not saying that by any means, but they said that even during the bombings of World War II, they held Mass on Christmas Eve. And that and go through different things in history and different outbreaks and different things, and this was the first year it took COVID to bring this church to stop Mass on Christmas Eve. And here's the thing, is I'll be honest with you, I look at that and I think, we as Christians, we're not where we used to be. And the thing about it is it just seems like we've wandered away from God, and the decisions that we've made, we haven't. It just seems like we've wandered away from God. And, you know, the thing about it is Satan too many times tells us, oh, you can get away with that, or no one will ever know about your sin. But the thing about it is when it comes down to it, when we do fall into sin, Satan then tells us, you know what? You'll never get away with it. Or you'll never get away with it. Everyone is going to find out. And the thing about it is that Satan tries to make it to where he doesn't want us to have to repent and to get right with God. I'll never forget, I talked with someone who used to go to church. And they said, well, you know what? We tried to go back to church, but it just didn't feel right. Well, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, when this individual was going to church, here's the thing, is they were involved, they were excited for the things of God. But you know what? When they came back in a backslidden state, and things weren't right. And here's the thing, is let me encourage you, for anybody that walks away from God, when you come back, it won't be the same. And I'm not trying to discourage you. It takes some time, because here's the thing, is when we attend church and we're on fire for God, and we get to be a part, and we get to serve with people, there's a camaraderie, there's a special relationship there. And but you know what? When we walk away from God and we haven't been to church in a long time, and maybe we haven't read our Bible and we haven't prayed, and I'm not talking about for health reasons or for things that we don't have any control of. But when we leave because of walking away from God, when we come back, it's not going to be the same. And we can't walk into the auditorium one time and say, you know what, things just aren't the same, and walk out the door and never come back. It takes time. You know, the thing about it is it takes one decision to fall into sin. But you know what? It takes a long time to rebuild that. Just like, you know, here's the thing, is you work with a child that is a habitual liar, and maybe they lied to one person and the trust was destroyed. Thing about it is you know what? It takes a long time to rebuild that trust with the individual as a trustworthy person. But here's the thing, is when it comes down to it, Satan is the deceiver of the brethren. And basically, he wants us to get discouraged, and he wants us to think that when we sin, when we take and make bad decisions, that, listen, we can't come back. But the truth of the matter is that, listen, there is restoration. All throughout the Bible, God talks about restoration. He restored David. You know, here's the thing is you read this account on how David fell into he didn't fall into adultery. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, and he made the bad decision. And it just seems like with many of us, one bad decision leads to another bad decision, leads to another bad decision. But listen, restoration was possible. David was called the man after God's own heart. Well, how's that possible? He's a murderer. Well, restoration is possible. You know, you look at it. Peter, God restored. The prodigal son, God restored. And the woman taken in adultery, God restored. If he will restore all these, then he is willing to restore us as well. And listen, this morning we're going to look at how to come back when we have sinned. Because the thing about it is that, listen, Satan is very, very good. The Bible says, Satan is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you know what? Satan is a liar. He's a cheat. And, you know, like the song, Satan is a sly old fox. If I could catch him, I'd throw him or put him in a box, lock the door and throw away the key for all those tricks he's played on me. Here's the thing is, you know what? I think all of us, if we're honest with ourselves and honest with each other, we'd say, hey, listen, Satan's pulled some fast ones on me. You know what? He got me to do things that I you know what? But you know what? Thank God, God restores. And so, listen, the point number one is the capacity for sin in the saint. You know, salvation saves the sinner, but it does not take away the ability to sin. You know what? We are capable of sin, of committing the same sins that the lost people are. And you know, the thing about it is that saved people, although it's not right and we shouldn't, commit adultery, saved people steal. And here's the thing is that saved people have killed, saved people have indulged in things like bad music, movies that they shouldn't watch, you know, just all kinds of stuff. I've known Christians that have lied. I've known Christians that have coveted. I've known Christians that cheat. I've known Christians that have been maybe verbally and physically abusive. I've known Christians that have gossiped. I've known Christians that have criticized. And here's the thing is they fought with other people. Road rage. Let's not talk about that. Move on. And basically when it comes down to it, it comes down to choices. And what do we do with God? See, the thing about it is that, listen, when it comes down to it, we have the same choices that the lost people have. And turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that a lost or a Christian person should do any of that. I believe that we should be an example. But the thing about it is this is why, I'll be honest with you, this is why the Bible verse it talks about, and this isn't the one we're turning to, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I think about the cat walking on the fence with the pit bull on one side and the German shepherd on the other. And both of the dogs want that cat for lunch. Here's the thing is when it comes down to it, this is why we should all walk scared. The thing about it is see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. A fool just walks around and isn't careful for nothing. But here's the thing is when it comes down to it, a wise person realizes that, you know what? I am capable of ruining my life just like a lost person is. But you know what? There's more at stake than there is for a lost person. And so anyways, Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, the Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye to members of let me back up, I flipped the page too soon. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are under the law, but under grace. And basically what it boils down to is who do we submit to? Who do we yield ourselves to? And here's the thing is too many times, and we looked in Sunday school that the Bible talks about you cannot serve God and mammon. And I'll be honest with you, when it comes down to it, you know what? Too many times we yield ourselves over to the flesh. We yield ourselves over, you know what? We're all about a good time. We're all about comfortable. We're all about, and here's the thing is when it comes down to it, this can trap us and ensnare us. See, here's the thing is it all depends upon decisions. Are we deciding to yield ourselves over to God? Are we deciding to, like we talked about in Sunday school, guard our heart? Are we deciding that, listen, when it comes down to it, are we just deciding that, you know what, we're going to yield ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness? And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, I'm going to turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, wherefore, let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. Here's the thing is, you know what, but for the grace of God, that list that I read could be me. You know, the thing about it is what we see by this is the fact that none of us are above anybody else. And the moment we think, you know what? Well, I've been saved X amount of years. Listen, there's no such thing as the sinless Christian. As far as this, you know what? We've got a sin nature. The Bible talks about, the Bible warns us about our tongue. The Bible warns us about our heart. The heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Listen, I've said this many times. Paul said, not as though I had already attained. Paul, one of the greatest Christians, if he hasn't arrived, then you know what? Bless God, I haven't arrived either. This is why, I'll be honest with you, we as Christians, we ought to be desperate about reading our Bible. Because listen, when it comes down to it, I tell you know what? It's imperative for us to read our Bible. It's imperative for us to pray. It's imperative for us to attend church on a regular basis. It's imperative for us to take and seek after the things of God. Why? Because, you know what? Either we're yielding ourselves over to the things of God, or we're yielding ourselves to be instruments of unrighteousness. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, it comes down to this decision. And listen, you know what? We're not above sin. This is why we ought to run scared. And so, but listen, when it comes down to it, there is, turn your Bibles to 1 John, chapter 1. This kind of sums it up really good. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in it. I don't know about you, but God's not a liar. And so the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, we have the capability of sinning. We have the capability of messing up our lives. You see, and here's the thing is, I don't care how long we've been a Christian. I don't care what we've done for God. I've seen some great preachers make some terrible mistakes that have hurt the cause of Christ. I've seen some people growing up who were pillars in the church make terrible decisions. Why? I'll be honest with you. It's they thought they were above it. And listen, when it comes down to it, take heed lest we fall. You know what? When it comes down to it, sin cannot take away our salvation. But it does tear us down spiritually and emotionally. And next is the consequence of sin for the saints. Turn back to, you know, when it comes down to it, a sinning saint wrote Psalms chapter 51. And, you know, here's the thing is, he knew full well the consequences, and he began a plea for mercy. You know, the thing about it, I remember hearing a preacher a long time ago say, never be deceived. Sin carries his own club. And listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? If you can sin and not feel sick about it afterwards, then I'll be honest with you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Turn your Bibles to Galatians. We're going to look in a lot of verses this morning. Galatians chapter 6. And listen, when it comes down to it, when we sin, we should feel bad. We shouldn't be able to sleep. And Galatians chapter 6, page 1649 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, the thing about it is that there are consequences to sin. And I think a lot of us know this, but I think it's important for us to look at this because here's the thing is, you know, God put this in the Bible for a reason. And I believe that when it comes down to it, when we're reminded of the consequences, sometimes that can be motivation for us. Because here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, you know what? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We've got to be careful. This is why Pastor has so many revivals throughout the year. Why? Because I tell you what, it seems like, I'll be honest with you, I know this isn't confession and we don't believe in confession, but you know what? It seems like so many times in a revival, in a special service, I'll be sitting there, and you know what? God will tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, you've wandered a little bit. You strayed a little bit. We need to make some corrections. And listen, it's so important for us to be walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. But there is consequences for sin. Sin soils the saint. Here David is seeking cleansing for his soul. See, sin will make us feel dirty. And, you know, the thing about it is especially when we know that we're doing wrong, I tell you what, you just feel dirty inside. I'll be honest with you, a non-Christian will have no difficulty sinning. Seems like a lost person can rationalize sin. They can rationalize why they're doing what they're doing. And this is why socialism and communism is so... Well, you know what? They've rationalized how they can steal from other people. And they rationalize how... And here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. You look at all the riots that happened. Well, you know what? They rationalized, and some of them even went on national television and rationalized why they should take and hurt somebody else's property, break in their windows, steal their stuff, burn their buildings, beat up other people, and they tried to rationalize why they did what they did. And but listen, when it comes down to it, that God has placed in us a conscience in our body to speak to us, and you know what? The Holy Spirit will never give us rest if we're fighting God. I'll be honest with you. You know what? When we fight God, I've said this for a long time, the most miserable person in all the world is someone who's saved and in a wrong relationship with God. Because I'll be honest with you, the lost person, you know what? A lost person can live in sin. They're not happy. But you know what? I'll be honest with you, they're not miserable either. And the thing about it is I've seen the most honoriest individuals, the most miserable people in all the world, are someone who's saved, that they know they should be walking with God, and they just refuse to. And the thing about it is when it comes down to it, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 24. And but listen, God has placed in us a conscience. Acts chapter 24, in verse 16. Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. The Bible says, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man." You know, the thing about it is that the successful Christian life is not about being sin-free. Praise the Lord, because I'd never attain it. And you know what? If we're honest with ourselves, we'd never obtain it either. And so the thing about it is that what happens is basically keeping short accounts with God. You know, that there's this deal called presumptuous sins. Knowing that we shouldn't do something, or knowing that we should do something, we just don't regard it. But anyways, here's the thing is when we realize that we have sinned, listen, by the way, it took Nathan walking up and pointing his finger in his chest, "Thou art the man." And listen, when it comes down to it, there's times where a pastor gets up and preaches, and you know what? The Holy Spirit's putting his finger in our chest, "Thou art the man." But listen, when it comes down to it, listen, we ought to take and be in such a relationship with God that, listen, it doesn't take somebody else pointing out our sin for us to realize that we're sinner. We should take and, you know what? We should be constantly looking into the perfect law of liberty. We should be looking in and allowing God to take and work in our hearts. And because here's the thing, is sin soils the saint. There is nothing in this world like having a clear conscience before God. You know, the thing about it is that the Bible talks about the peace of God, which passes all understanding. The Bible talks about joy, and the Bible talks about peace. Here's the thing is, you know what? When we're harboring sin in our lives, it's not that time. There's nothing like walking with God. I'll be honest with you. How do you ask yourself, and you see different Christians who, it seems like no matter what goes on, nothing seems to budge them. Something devastating can happen, and they just keep on serving God. They just keep on doing what they're supposed to do. How are they able to do that? It's the peace of God. Realizing that, you know what? God is in control. It's realizing that, you know what? Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Here's the thing is, there's nothing like being honestly able to say, "Lord, I want nothing between me and You. You know what? I don't want to keep my possessions before You. I don't want to keep my money before You. Everything I have is Yours. My life is Yours. And here's the thing is, you know what? Whatever You want me to do, whatever You want me to be, that's what I want to be." And I'll be honest with you, that's where peace, that's where joy, that's where the blessings of God come from. But I'll be honest with you, when sin is in there, man, I tell you what, there's the opposite of peace. There's turmoil. And you know, the thing about it is that sin saturates the mind. And listen, when it comes down to it, back in Psalms chapter 51, and looking in verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." You know, the thing about it is when we sin and we don't get it, we don't keep short accounts with God, you know what? We can't get away from it. Seems like everything reminds us of that sin. Everything reminds us about how we could be walking with God. Something as simple as a prayer request. We think, is God going to hear my prayer? And I'll be honest with you, that's misery. You know, it produces guilt. And guilt manifests itself in temper. I tell you what, a lot of times you take an individual who has a bad temper, and most of the time it's a spiritual problem. You take a person that has a lack of concentration or irritability. It just seems like you can walk by that person and not right relationship with God. A lack of prayer. By the way, the thing about it is when we harbor sin in our lives, the last thing we want to do is pray. The last thing we want to do is have an appetite for the spiritual things. Man, I tell you what, why is it that that person who walked away from God is uncomfortable here? Because it reminds them that, listen, they're not where they're supposed to be. And listen, the last place we are when we're backslidden is in the Bible, studying Scripture, because it reminds us. It beats us over the head a lot and says, hey, listen, there's something in our life that we need to get right with God. And prayer and service to God. And here's the thing, is that too many times when we're not right with God, we don't want anything to do with the things of God. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. What were they doing? They were hiding from God. When just a little bit ago, they were walking with God in the garden. What changed? Sin. Sin always separates us from God. Sin always takes a great relationship and divides it. By the way, sin will take and destroy our horizontal relationships as well as our vertical relationships. But the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, Jesus offers cleansing and forgiveness. When we look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, many of us can quote it, 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." See, sin also stings the conscience. Look at verse 4 in Psalms chapter 51. "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." You know, here's the thing, is that David was broken because he hurt God. I'll be honest with you, this is what's lacking in America today. Too many times, we as Americans, and as a whole, as a nation, we're not worried about sinning against God. Because here's the thing, is if we were worried about sinning against God, we wouldn't be aborting and basically murdering thousands upon thousands of babies all the time. If we were worried about sinning against the holy God, LGBTQRST, whatever alphabet people, basically, here's the thing, is we wouldn't be saying that that's right. The Bible says that sodomites are an abomination against God. And listen, when it comes down to it, we are supposed to love the sinner, but you know what? We're not supposed to condone the sin. And so, listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? We shouldn't be, there's many things that are socially acceptable that go against this book right here. And so when it comes down to it, you know what? David here was broken because he hurt God. Listen, when it comes down to it, we ought to be, you know, we ought to be concerned about what we do to God. And this is it. By the way, this is the difference between a slave and a son. A slave fears the master's whip, but a son fears the father's displeasure. You know, the Bible often refers to us as children. You know, when I remember when Cassie was little, and she was just a few years old, I could look at her and say no, and tears would just well up and start running down her face. Now the boys, with about the same age, I could look at them and say no. Like a calf looking at a new gate, you know. And but anyways, here's the thing, is as they got older, you know what? They feared less of the discipline. They feared less of the, and here's the thing is, hopefully, if they mature properly, eventually they get to the point, because here's the thing is, I remember, you know what, I'm 6'4 right now, and I don't even remember what I was in high school, but, you know, there's times as a kid where you think, you know what, I could take my dad if I needed to. And I never forget one time after I was married, my dad proved that he could still take me. And, but anyways, he's a retired Navy chief and wrestled and all kinds of stuff. But anyways, here's the thing is that sometimes, you know, your kids get bigger than you and they get this idea that they can still take you. But you know what? The idea is if we've trained them properly, they no longer fear what we do to them physically. We fear about breaking their hearts. And the thing about it is, you know what? As we mature as Christians, we should fear less on what God can do to us and more about whether or not we're breaking the heart of God. And this is the part that David got to, is he realized that, you know what? Sin wasn't just something that had consequences. Sin was something that was against the holy God, and it broke the heart of God. You know, the thing about it is that a true Christian weeps over sin. This is why, I'll be honest with you, as a kid, I never really understood why Christians in the Bible would weep over the sins of a nation. I remember thinking, well, you didn't do it. But here's the thing is, these people love God so much that it broke their heart to realize how much their nation broke God's heart. And I wonder how many of us well up with a tear to think of what our nation does to God. How our nation... Because here's the thing, is I'll be honest with you. As we walk with God, we realize that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, the more mature I get in the scriptures, the more I realize, if I was what I should have been, maybe things would be different. If our church was what it should be, maybe things would be different. If Christians as a whole in America were what they should be, maybe things would be different. And the thing about it is when it comes down to it, sin should sting the conscience. Sin should stab in the heart. We look at Psalms chapter 51, verses 8 and 12. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, true abiding joy isn't affected by circumstances. The moment we take and we're controlled by circumstances, I guarantee you, we're not trusting the way that we should. We don't believe that God is in control and on the throne. Next, we see that sin sickens the body. And, you know, I got this on the ambulance. You know, the thing about it is that I've never seen anxiety and fear and emotions control the body so much. You know, the thing about it is that you can actually get heart problems. You can get anxiety, just wreaks havoc on the body. And here's the thing is that sin sickens the body just like anxiety. And the thing about it is that God never casts us off. Basically, here's the thing is when it comes down to it, the Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father shall come to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you know, the thing about it is sin sours the spirit. And David here had a wrong spirit. And we see in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. And that let's turn there real quick. I believe this is important. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And the Lord said unto Nathan, get unto David. And he came unto him and said, there were two men in one city, one rich and other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and he ate of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's anger was kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, as a man that hath done these things shall surely die, he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You know what the problem was here? Sin had changed David's thought. See, David had justified it. David had reasoned it away so much that the thing about it is David had a wrong spirit and he had a wrong way of thinking. And God had to shake him up a little bit and said, listen, let me tell you a story. And as David's anger is kindled, thou art the man. Listen, when it comes down to it, there's only one solution to a soured saint, and that's repent. See, the Bible talks about how sin seals the lips. David here, back to Psalms chapter 51 and verses 13 through 15. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from my blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud for righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. What is David here asking? See, the thing about it is when we get right with God, when we've sinned and we get right with God, I'll be honest with you. You know what we're concerned again about? We're concerned about teaching the next generation how to walk with God. We're concerned about, hey, showing the next generation how they don't have to fall into those same pits and traps that Satan has laid for us. Hey, listen, we're concerned about singing, and we're concerned about teaching the transgressor thy ways. And here's the thing is, open thou my lips that I may show forth thy praise. Listen, you know what? When we get right with God, I'll be honest with you. There's times where, you know what? We read our Bible and we just met with God. And you know what? God was so awesome. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, if you're in public, sometimes people look at you funny. But you know what? There are times where you just can't help but belt out, God is so wonderful, I can't explain. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Why? Because, listen, when we're in sin, we don't feel like singing. When we're in sin, we don't feel like teaching a class. When we're in sin, we don't feel like being used by God. When we're in sin, we don't feel like praising his name. We don't feel like sharing the gospel with other people. I'll be honest with you. A backslider won't win souls to Christ. A backslider won't attend church on a regular basis. A backslider won't serve in a church. And a backslider definitely won't teach a Sunday school class. Why is that? Because you know what? Their lips are shut from the sin. And listen, when we get right with God, our lips are opened. You know, here's the thing is, ask yourself this morning, what is the condition that we are in today? Not where we used to be with God, because here's the thing is, many of us, when we're backslidden, there were times where God used us in a great way. Many times, you know, here's the thing is, we can't live in past victories. We can't live in past times where God did wonderful things. Hey, listen, the Bible says redeeming the time for the days are evil. Hey, listen, there shouldn't be a time where we were more in a right relationship with God than we are today. Hey, listen, we ought to be growing. We ought to be charging forward. We ought to be keeping short accounts with God. And listen, when it comes down to it, that listen, God can restore. You know what? Come back to God from sin. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. You know, hey, listen, we should have confidence that God still loves us. You know, the great part about it is we can walk away from him. Just like the story about the prodigal son, the father was standing in open arms when the son came back. Hey, listen, when we sin, realize that God still loves us and he's standing there with open arms. You know what? We as Christians, when somebody walks away from God, we should be Christ-like enough to where when somebody walks out those doors and doesn't come back for a long time, when they finally do, our arms ought to be open. We should be condemning them. We shouldn't be, you know what? We should be opening them or receiving them with open arms. And listen, when it comes down to it, we should have confidence that God still loves us. You know what? Never believe anything that the devil tells us. Because here's the thing is, Satan is a deceiver. John chapter 8 and verse 44, the Bible says this. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And listen, Satan will lie to you. Satan will deceive you. And you know what? Satan wants you to not come back to God. Satan wants you to think that, you know what? Things will never be the same, so why should I try? Satan wants you to think that your prayers will bounce off the ceiling. Satan will have you think that, you know what? I'm too much of a sinner. I've disappointed him too much. Hey, listen, you know what? God still loves you, and he wants to restore you. And listen, when it comes down to it, we need to confess our sins before God. David confessed his sins and got in a right relationship with God. God is not looking for excuses. He's not looking for alibis. He's looking for honesty. He's looking for somebody that says, hey, listen, I have sinned before an almighty God. And listen, you know what? I am not in a right relationship with God. Thank you for loving me. I'm a sinner. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know what? Next we see that we need to allow God to cleanse us. Psalms chapter 51 and verse 7. The Bible says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David here is requesting a cleansing. When we allow God to cleanse us, great things take place. A mountain of guilt will be removed. Our condemnation is taken away. We are freed from the voice of the accuser. Our sin is buried in a sea of forgetfulness. You know what? When it comes down to it, sin is just a bunch of guilt. Here's the thing is, there's nothing pleasant about sin. You know, I remember hearing people talk about the Marlboro Man. All throughout, you know, here's the thing is, used to be everywhere, there was billboards of the Marlboro Man sitting on his horse with his cowboy hat, smoking a cigarette. And they made it look so good. But you know what? On the ambulance, I've seen what cigarettes do. There's nothing good about that. I've seen people that can't get a breath because of just the havoc that it's wreaked. Well, you know what? That's the father of the devil. Basically the liar. Old smutty face the devil. Because here's the thing is, you know what? He dangles the hook of sin and he says, you know what? Sin's pleasurable for a season. But he doesn't emphasize the season. He realizes that, you know what? Once he has you, he just keeps on reeling you in. And you know what? He's not happy until your life is destroyed. The Bible says Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. When you sift wheat, you just grind it. You know what? Satan isn't happy until your life is just destroyed. Keep in mind, though, that God loves us. And you know what? God wants to restore us. Satan will tell you, you know what? You can't be used to God anymore. That's a lie. You know what? God is the God of second chances, and I'm so glad. Because here's the thing is, you know what? If we're all honest with ourselves, each one of us, if you use those second chances, just think about the fact that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and you know what? Christ saved us. You know, the thing about it is that the Bible talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest second chance was salvation. But here's the thing is, you know what? God is the God of restoration. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me ask you, where are we today? Are we close to God, or have we walked away? Are we drowning in our guilt and our shame, or do we have a clean conscience towards God? Are we empty with no peace and no joy? Or do we have the joy that passes all understandings? Here's the thing is, this morning, here in just a few moments, we're going to have an altar call. If God has spoken to your heart, don't let Satan give you a lie that says, listen, I'll be honest with you. One of Satan's lies is, you can't walk an aisle. Everybody think you're a dirty, rotten sinner. I'll be honest with you. Most of the time when you walk an aisle in a place like this, number one, we rejoice with you. But number two is, maybe God will use you to convict somebody else and say, well, if they're going to get right with God, I'll get right with God too. See, Satan wants to render us useless. And I'll be honest with you, there's nothing more effective than an old-fashioned altar. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, what is our relationship with God? Have we gotten to the point where we're indifferent? Or have we grown to the point where our heart is broken by sin? Broken by the fact that sin is reigning so often here in America. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this account of David. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to realize that when we sin, that it's not game over. That God can restore us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to keep short accounts with God. Thank you so much. So much for sending your Son Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the fact that you love us no matter what. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you have your way in the invitation. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.